Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Ken Wakui from NICT, University of Tokyo, Japan. What I'd like to talk today is about generation of optical non-Gaussian quantum states, which is very similar to a Schrodinger cat state, which has very weak amplitude. So I'm very glad to be here to show you our latest results. I'm afraid there are less people here because this is the last day, but I hope you enjoy. Okay, this is the outline of my talk. First, I will talk about the motivation of this work. And next, I'll move on to experimental setup and some principle related to that experiment. And I will talk about the result of the experiment. And I will make a brief summary and talk about the future plan. You know, in our group, our long-term goal is to implement quantum channel encoding to attain ultimate capacity of a bosonic channel. The principle of quantum channel encoding can be described in the following way. There is, when you double the transmission resources, you can increase the capacity even more than twice. But in the classical theory, you can't do such a thing. The capacity increases twice, at most, never more than that. The feature is called super-altitude quantum encoding gain, which must be a very basic and important principle in communication technology. And the origin of this effect is quantum computing performed prior to the measurement. And actually, 3 years ago, NICT could succeed to demonstrate super additive quantum coding gain in a simplest form of length 2 coding by using polarization location coding with a quasi single photon state. And this comes out. It does come out. Small gap, clearly demonstrates the super additivity and shows that we could succeed in, we could beat the sum limit. Our next challenge is to work with more practical signal, I mean coherent states. In quantum decoder, you must generate superposition of such coherent states, which is nothing but the optical analog of a Schrodinger cat state. Actually, to generate a Schrodinger cat state in a traveling model light is a very long-standing dream in quantum optics. And it was this year when the flying quantum cats were generated in laboratory, but unfortunately, it was not in our group that succeeded first. The first group in the world is Grange's group in South Laboratory in France. And his Impulsix group in Niels Bohr Institute in Denmark has followed this next. And in our group, we could generate first non-Gaussian state this May. And now we are preparing to submit a paper with our latest work. Okay. Generating such Schrodinger cat states requires high non-linearity at the photon level, which is still a big challenge. But recently, the kind of nonlinearity is becoming possible by using squeezing beam and a photon counter. So what can you do with that two elements? The protocol is as follows. It's quite simple. And at first, you prepare the squeeze light, and a small fraction of beam is sent to the photon number detector. And when the photon number detector counts the number of photons, the major fraction of the output seems to be something different state because of the entanglement between the two modes. So the output is a fine cat state. And so let's think about a single photon detection case. These are the phase space distributions over optical quantum states, I mean, Wigner functions. And if the single photon detector counts the one photon. So the output state is something like this. And this is a real optical Schrodinger cat. And it has two peaks at both sides. And between them, there is a quantum interference part, including a big negative part. So the one photon subtracted squeezed state is something different from this state. But it also has two peaks at both sides. And in this case, rim around the two peaks is correspond to quantum interference part. And of course, there's a negativity. So actually, we don't have a single photon detector, but just a commercially available APD. But at least no problem so far, because we have diminished the power which goes to the detector. So we have successfully suppressed the two-photon contribution. And what about the quantum efficiency? No problem also. We lose some events. And in addition to, if you want to bring it up, if you want to bring up a kid into cat, what you need is a photon number resolving detector and high quality squeezed state. And I hope some good stuff will be available for us. And this is also a very important thing, but it's been a very difficult task. I will talk about next. We are experimenting with a CW squeezed light at 800 nanometers, and in this range of wavelengths, potassium niobate crystals has been widely used for optical nonlinear medium because it has a very large nonlinear optical coefficient. Hence, such study, such experiment was performed. But this record has not been broken for a long time because there is a big issue when using a potassium niobate crystal. I mean, this is absorption called BLILA, blue light induced IR absorption. Because due to the big loss in the presence of a frequency double pump beam, the crystal has big losses in the fundamental wavelengths. So this has limited the quality of squeezing, and also at this time it has turned out to be the big problem for generating a non-Gaussian state. But now we have a magical crystal. It is called PPKTP, periodically polled potassium titanate phosphorate. This crystal has no losses such as BLILA in the case of potassium niobate. So in this non-Gaussian before this non-Gaussian experiment, we could have success. We could have broken the limit. So the crystal has no losses such as BLILA. So this is powerful for creating a pure squeezing. Also. So I will explain with our experimental data. And here is the experimental setup of our lab. We are here is the specification of our OPO. We use a continuous wave optical parametric oscillator at a wavelength of 860 nanometer, and we use the nonlinear optical crystal. And bandwidth of OPO cavity is about 10 megahertz, and free spectrum range FSL of OPO cavity is about 600 megahertz. This is a picture of a OPO cavity, and only a crystal is placed inside the cavity. So the squeezed vacuum beam is generated in that way, and a small fraction is detected by the APD. And this output is used as a trigger of data acquisition, and this digital oscilloscope. This is a PC, but actually we use a digital oscilloscope, and oscilloscope samples homodyne signal synchronized to the APD output. One important thing in this experiment is to obtain high mode matching condition. So I will elaborate it later. Okay, please take a look at the picture of experimental setup for a second while I'm taking a rest. Okay, this is a part of the optical cavity, and generally the squeeze vacuum state is goes to the direction, and this is the beam splitter, the split squeeze vacuum beam in the two-way. Okay, I will talk about the principle. You know, we use optical, the CW character of our experiment requires a multimode theory. Detailed analysis can be found in these papers, so I'd like to share with you a brief idea in this slide. Okay, a continuous wave squeeze vacuum beam is described by the red sine curve, and a small fraction is goes to APD. And when the APD detects the photon, so the response time is very short within the range. And because of the entanglement of these two beams, so the output state is changed into something like this. So the origin of the state is defined by the APD and within the precision. But original squeeze vacuum beam has low length spectrum because we use optical cavity. So output state is has broadening, some broadening compared relative to the inverse bandwidth of the optical cavity. There is some experimental tips I will explain later to get that condition. First, before APD, there is you need some optical filtering because mode matching bandwidth of optical crystal is very broad, up to 100 gigahertz or more. So besides the degenerate mode that we want to measure, there are many non-degenerate modes, I think hundreds or thousands of the modes. And all other modes within the optical cavity have the same spatial profile, so APD can measure all of them. But the photons in that non-degenerate mode is act like unwanted counts, dark counts. So we have put several optical cavities one by one with taking the quality of the output state. And now we have here shown are the two, but we use three optical cavities in a row. The one is triangle, the other two is subarctal cavities. And by making use of them, they could successfully getting rid of these unrelated modes. And after homodyning, you need some filtering on data. And low data of homodyne detection is something like this, just noise. And the temporal function is multiplied by this data, and it is rated. It is just a Fourier transform of a low length spectrum. Okay. And then the in addition, there is some delay in electronics, so we have to sweep the temporal mode function in time domain to optimize the where the mode function multiply that. Okay, here comes the extended result. This is a real-time, typical real-time waveform of a homodyne measurement. And here's all the experimental conditions. In order to perform quantum tomography, we have scanned the phase between the output state and LO. And in every measurement, two times pi. And this is a result of using a new crystal and an old crystal. And signal counting ratio, signal counting rate is about up to 5,000 counts per second, and a dot count rate is about 50 counts per second. And so how you can tell the difference between these two? It's really hard to, it's a little bit hard to tell from just looking, but I think this one has a better contrast. And after collecting many points up to 100,000, and then doing a reconstruction algorithm by maximum likelihood method, so output state will be different. Please take a look at this picture. So by using Professor Navid, so you can see very little region of a negative part. But using a PBKD crystal, you can see the clear negative part. And we haven't done any correction of measurement losses. It's just from our raw data. So, this is what we took 2 weeks ago. And this is the one we took last Sunday. Just one day before I came here. Okay, to start with a wake pumping region, we have gradually increased the pump power. Pump power is in the first 10, 20, 30, and 40 milliwatts. And it's also really hard to tell, but these two peaks correspond to the coefficient amplitude are gradually separated in a weak region. A negative region are gradually weak. But you can see the negativity in any trace. And to tell the truth, we have been struggling with the potassium nitrate crystal, the older crystal, for 2 months or more. And last week, I tested the crystal only during 3 days. So at the first time I look at this trace, I thought that how speed I am to waste my time so long with the bad crystal. And finally, I'd like to show you the density matrix and a contour plot of a Wigner function. This is a contour plot of a Wigner function, and at the weak pumping region, the state is something like a single photon state. The closure, this is the X amplitude and the P amplitude, and closure amplitude is isotropic, almost isotropic in every closure. You can tell from the diagonal elements of the density matrix, the single photon contribution is main. But you gradually increase the pump power. The state is gradually squeezed in that direction, and you can see that there are some odd photon number contributions. So you can control the output states by controlling the pump power. Okay, this is a summary in a future plan. But okay, thank you for attention.